Here's 5 minutes of Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by POW Incorporated, makers of St. Joseph Aspirin and Mexana, the medicated powder clinically proved to prevent minor rashes. For the headlines, here is Morgan Beatty in Radio Central.
Premier Flimland says he'll use full emergency powers if necessary to preserve the unity of France. The United States steps up military aid to Lebanon. Details on these important stories coming up. Belgium apparently is the first nation officially to accept an invitation to send a scientist to watch an American hydrogen bomb test sometime this summer. A Navy jet fighter plane crashed today in the backyard of a home in Jarrettown, Pennsylvania. The pilot was killed. A man working on the ground missed death by only a few feet. A small tornado whipped through the village of Washakie, Wisconsin, late today and damaged more than a dozen buildings. Several persons hurt, none seriously. Those are the top developments. Details in a moment.
Here are results from the very latest scientific studies on the subject of buffering versus genuine pure aspirin. Listen. 1. Buffering does not bring any faster relief than genuine pure aspirin. 2. Buffering does not bring any greater degree of relief. 3. Buffering does not bring any added protection from stomach upset, is not any safer than genuine pure aspirin. Yes, from these studies, millions now know that buffering adds nothing but higher price to pain and fever relief. Here's proof that the time-tested action of genuine pure St. Joseph aspirin assures the best pain and fever-reducing help money can buy. 12-tablet tin is the world's largest seller at 12 cents. 100 tablets, only 49 cents. Why pay more? Get the best for less. Get St. Joseph aspirin. And Mother St. Joseph aspirin for children is approved by more doctors for fever and pain than any other medication for children. Mothers trust its accurate dosage. Youngsters like its pure orange flavor. Be sure you buy St. Joseph aspirin for children. Once again, Morgan Beatty.
France remains a vortex of whirling political currents. Still too early to say in whose behalf the strongest winds blow. At the moment, the Flimland middle-of-the-road government moves to avert the danger of civil war. The premier, in a nationwide broadcast tonight, appeals for unity, law, and order, and woe to anyone who attempts to overthrow the government by force, right or left. Paris itself is a picture of outward calm, but underneath there's a ferment of development. Army Chief of Staff General Paul Ely has resigned, apparently in anger, because of the house arrest of two fellow officers in a roundup of rightists. Flimland dispatched an envoy to see General Charles de Gaulle. He failed on his first try, succeeded on the second, only to confirm that de Gaulle would be in Paris Monday to make an official statement. Then, too, de Gaulle's right-hand man and chief political aide, Jacques Soustelle, slipped through loosely knit police surveillance in Paris, flew to Algeria, there to be greeted with thundering reception. As the situation stands tonight, Gaullist sentiment is centered strong in Algeria. Flimland holds on to the driver's seat in France itself. In other news of the hour, government forces in Lebanon are gaining the upper hand in their struggle with nationalist rebels. A hand strengthened, incidentally, today by the arrival of an American small arms shipment in Beirut. Washington also promises tanks and anti-riot equipment, delivery expected in 2 weeks. At the same time, we've sent a fleet of Globemaster planes to Germany to be used in airlifting Americans out of Lebanon if such an emergency occurs. So far, it hasn't. In the wide open spaces above the Earth, Sputnik No. 3 is on its 30th complete journey. Russian scientists say its instrumentation is functioning perfectly, but at least one American listening post believes a radio transmitter is having trouble. And a final item from Toledo, Ohio, where an Air Force GI has set a new world record for consecutive sit-ups during a five-hour stint in a local gymnasium. 6,321. And this boy is a sore winner. Yes. Morgan Beatty at Radio Central.
Must a luxury car be big, bulky, and hard to park? Must it guzzle gas and carry an exorbitant price tag? No. Not if it's the new 270-horsepower Ambassador V8, the luxury car in the American Motors line of fine cars. The Ambassador is easiest of all luxury cars to handle, park, and garage, most economical to drive, and by far the lowest priced. Now you can enjoy top V8 performance with outstanding V8 economy. See the new 270-horsepower Ambassador. Get a bandwagon deal at Rambler Dealers, headquarters for Rambler, Ambassador, and Metropolitan Automobiles.
And now, a Monitor Sports Special. A great deal of cheering is going on in the nation's capital these days, but it's not for the Democrats or Republicans. For the story, Monitor now switches to Jim Simpson in Washington.
Cookie Lavagetto in a preseason poll of New York baseball writers, they picked the Washington Senators to finish dead last. The Senators so far this year have been acting anything like a team that's going to finish in the basement. As the manager of the Washington Senators, how do you account for their great improvement so far?
Well, our spirit is very high and enthusiasm of our ball club. They have more will to win this year than they did last year. And, of course, I think we help our ball club now with his outing at first base, and I think Espromonte is going to give us a good double play combination. Pearson is coming along fine, and I think that Jim Lemon should have a good year, and Seavers, and our pitching of Hyde and Clemens and Barley has given us a good bullpen work, and I think Ramos will be a better pitcher this year than he was last year. And we got, of course, a newcomer than Hal Griggs, and he's got good stuff. He's a little tendency to be a little wild here and there, but he has a solid arm, and I think that as the year goes along, he should get better. So I can't see where we can finish last this year.
Cookie, the fans of Washington are certainly behind you. It's just about the loudest group of fans that we've encountered in many years in Washington. But those who are still sitting back say, wait till the doubleheaders come along and Cookie has to look for more starting pitchers. Now, how does your pitching situation, you've run down it briefly, but how do you feel you're going to get along as time goes on and you got more games crammed into fewer days?
Well, I don't think I'll have any trouble as any other club has. I think that we have a bunch of young pitchers and they all got strong arms, so I don't see why they can't hold up when the doubleheaders come along.
Cookie, one final question. You mentioned the spirit of the ball club and the spirit I mentioned about the fans. Now, I know that a ball club hears the fans, but does that, the cheering that has been going on here, does that give a perceptible lift to a ball club to have that kind of backing?
Oh, without a doubt. And the ball players have all remarked about the Washington fans getting behind them, and I think that they are, in turn, showing their enthusiasm by playing the kind of baseball they have been playing.
Well, Cookie, you've given us a shot in the arm here in Washington, and we thank you for it.
Well, I hope it continues until September 29th. Was that the last
right. night? Thank you, Cookie Lavagetto. This is Jim Simpson, Washington. Now back to Monitor and Radio Central.
Thank you, gentlemen. And did you hear about the fellow who returned home late after a Senator game and explained to his wife that the contest went into extra innings? Well, snapped his snorting spouse, why don't they start those extra inning games earlier? Oh, some fellas just can't win. Now, Monitor Sports Shorts. You look at today's action on the turf at Pimlico in the heart of Baltimore. It was Tim Tam showing his class again among the nation's top three-year-olds. Coming through with an impressive victory over Lincoln Road in the Preakness. At the finish, Tim Tam was a length and a half to the good of the game colt, who has now placed behind him in three big races, the Florida Derby, Kentucky Derby, and today's race. This time, the Calumet Standard Bearer came on strong at the head of the stretch to ensure his triumph. Gone Fishing finished in the show spot. Two bitter disappointments, Jewel's Reward never got going, wound up a disappointing sixth, and everybody's darling Silky Sullivan, no better than eighth. And while Tim Tam was winning at Pimlico, Mrs. Jean Markey's fabulous Calumet establishment was cornering still another big race at Garden State. The Betsy Ross Stakes, taken by Calumet's A Glitter. And what's that they say about the rich getting richer? The companion feature at Garden State today was taken by Pinter Lee, another Calumet breadwinner. Elsewhere on the turf, last year's Preakness winner, Bold Ruler, took the $25,000 added to Boggan Handicap, aired by Monitor. Bold Ruler had to carry 133 pounds, but he made it look easy, beating Clem and TikTok to the wire. Monitor also carried the $50,000 added Los Angeles Handicap at Hollywood Park, a race won by an outsider, How Now. Place and show went to Golden Notes and The Searcher. Also out on the coast, Baruch won the $25,000 Humpty Dumpty Handicap at Golden Gate. At Balmoral, Tribal Love, a 25-1 shot, took the Bashford Stakes, and the $20,000 added Modesty Handicap went to Melody Mine. At Lincoln, Backbone came home the winner in the $25,000 added Hartford Handicap. Turning to baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies lost the services of first baseman Dave Philly for possibly 2 weeks and catcher Stan Lopata for a few days in today's costly 4-3 win over the Pirates. Philly suffered a compound fracture of his nose in a collision with a fan while reaching into the stands to grab a foul pop-up. Lopata, hit by a pitch early in the game, retired several innings later when his muscles tightened up. For the best and most comprehensive sports news, stay tuned to Monitor.
You're on the Monitor Beacon. Take one. This is Monitor with Morgan Beatty and Monty Hall. A quick rundown of the hour ahead reveals an impending visit with Miss Vicki Cummings out in Ann Arbor, Michigan, if our Monitor open line permits. And Patty Cavan, trusted Monitor reporter, is standing by in Washington with Miss Jane Morgan.
Sounds like some good listening, Daddy.
Anyway, right now, Pat Suzuki's latest effort.
Sounds like some good daddy listening.
Daddy, I want a diamond ring, bracelets, everything. Daddy, you ought to get the best for me. Daddy, gee, won't I look swell in sables? Clothes with Paris labels. Daddy, you ought to get the best for me. Here's an amazing revelation with a bit of a stimulation. I'd be a great sensation. I'd be our inspiration. Daddy, I want a brand new car, champagne, caviar. Daddy, you ought to get the best for me. I'd be a great sensation. I'd be your inspiration. Daddy, I want a brand new car, champagne, caviar. Daddy, Daddy, why don't you get the best for me?
Pat Suzuki and Daddy. In just 1 minute, we'll be talking with actress Vicki Cummings, so stay right where you are on the Monitor Beacon. Take one. If we have calculated correctly, Vicki Cummings, one of our most accomplished actresses and a leading figure in the American theater wing, should have just about finished her performance in a play called The Second Man at the University of Michigan Theater. Hello. Are you there? Well, we'll get her. She's probably rushing right up to that dressing room. Hello. Hello. Well, Morgan, she's going to be there any second. That's it. Are you there, Vicki?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening.
Boy, we were worried about you. It must be a long run to the dressing room. And I suppose she's completely out of breath from all this hurrying, so let's let her settle down for just a moment. Now, Vicki, would you tell us how things are going at Ann Arbor?
Well, they're just wonderful. This is a joyous theater to work in. the Lydia Middleton Theater. It's my second trip out here. Last time, I was amazed to notice that any university is probably one of the finest equipped theaters I've ever been in my life. Lighting is wonderful, the scenery is divine, and the audiences are very responsive.
And that last item, Vicky, is the most important of all. We understand that you're preparing to go abroad again.
I wish I could say abroad again, as you just said it, but that's not quite true. This will be my first trip to Europe, so naturally it's very, very exciting.
It sure should be, and you'll be doing some work there, I believe, in connection with the American Theater Wing we get. Is that right?
Well, specifically, the American Theater Wing affords a great opportunity for a lot of actors, first for learning. They have classes, and they put on shows, and they are basically interested in, of course, just what they stand for, theater and America. My particular function at this time with the American Theater Wing is to go to Europe and visit the community theaters that our own soldiers, their wives, and our personnel over there have put together.
Uh-huh.
Well, does she mean, Morgan, that our armed services... Let me see. Do our armed forces overseas have theater groups of their own, Vicky?
That's right. They've organized their own theaters in a great many places in Europe, in Germany, in France, and in Italy, particularly, which are three of the countries that I'm going to go to. Now, they are amateur theater, and they're having difficulties, which they complained about and have written to the American Theater Wing about, and I gather have written to the different United States bureaus.
Well, what seem to be their main difficulties?
Well, for one, they do not know how to direct themselves. They would like some instruction and direction, for one thing. Another is that, as you know, plays in the printed form generally are printed for theater, for stage, that is in between proscenium arches. Well, in a lot of the places, I understand they have theaters in the round.
Yes, that's right.
And they don't know how to translate direction from proscenium to the round. This will be one of our functions. Actually, what they want is direction, and they want demonstration. And to do this, the American Theater Wing is sending over a director, an actor, and an actress, the latter being myself. In some instances, the questions would perhaps be better answered by demonstration. In other words, the actor who will go with me and I will prepare certain scenes and perhaps demonstrate how they are done on stage and then demonstrate how they are done in the round. The director that is going with us is a very brilliant young man by the name of Herbert Machies, who just recently directed the Tennessee Williams plays, Garden District, and he will talk in terms of direction. Actually, our function is to, besides be instructive, is to let our forces overseas know that they're just not forgotten simply because there isn't a war going on.
And that's an excellent idea, Vicky. And we hope, as a matter of fact, we're sure you'll have great success with your entertaining, or should we say, teaching.
Actually, Helen Mencken gave us a kind of title that I think describes best what we're going to do. She's calling us theater consultants rather than entertainers or actors, because that actually is the function that we will have over there.
Mm-hmm. And we wish you the best of luck and a very pleasant journey, Vicky.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've been talking with Miss Vicky Cummings, who was at the other end of our open line to Ann Arbor, Michigan. This end is tied to the monitor beacon. Take one.
With the reappearance of jazz music on the scene, to much pleased excitement, many people have been asking, where has it been all these years? Well, the answer in part is at Nick's in Greenwich Village, New York. And for live proof of that statement, Monitor now takes you there for the music of the Billy Maxted Band.
You know, I don't think I'm very far wrong if I say that I think I saw smoke coming out of the trumpet of Chuck Forsythe and the trombone of Lee Gifford here. Here being Nick's, 7th Avenue and 10th Street in Greenwich Village, where Billy Maxted and the band hold forth. And when they go to Europe, they go to places like Copenhagen, and this is what it sounds like. Let's hear it, Billy. Thank you.
Well, we know we've enjoyed it here. We hope you've enjoyed it out there. And I have a couple of simple questions to ask. Do you know that this is Nick's, 7th Avenue and 10th Street in Greenwich Village? And do you also know that it's the music of Billy Maxted and Manhattan Jazz Band? And do you also know that this is Jerry Damon returning you to Monitor and Mr. Morgan Beatty and Monty Hall?
Thank you, Jerry Damon, and your beautiful wife by your side, as we know. And we've been enjoying the live Dixieland music of Billy Maxted and his orchestra from its New York headquarters at Nick's Greenwich Village. We thank the American Federation of Musicians, James C. Petrillo, president. In the next half hour, more live music, this time from Xavier Cugat at the Statler Hilton.
This is Monitor, the NBC Weekend Radio Service.
Five minutes of Monitor music now. 5 minutes in which you can sit back and count all the home runs that have been hit in the Coliseum where the Los Angeles Dodgers play tiddlywinks.
What time tomorrow will we get there? Can I watch you play roulette there? May I stay up late for supper? Is it awfully, awfully upper?
Gigi, you'll drive us wild.
Stop!
You silly child.
Is everybody celebrated, full of sin and dissipated? Is it hot enough to blister? Will I be your little sister?
Gigi, you are absurd. Now, not another word.
Let her gush and jabber. Let her be enthused. I cannot remember when I have been more amused.
Stop it! Nicely invented champagne. It's plain as it can be. They thought of you and me the night they invented champagne. They absolutely knew that all we'd want to do is fly to the sky on champagne and shout to everyone in sound that since the world began, no woman or man has ever been as happy as we are tonight.
Tonight they invented champagne. It's plain as it can be. They thought of you and me.
Tonight they invented champagne.
They absolutely knew that all we want to do is fly to the sky on champagne and shout to everyone in sight that since the world began, no woman or a man has ever been as happy as we are.
Thank you.
This is Monitor. In about 5 minutes, we'll be talking with Jane Morgan, who is waiting for us on the Monitor Beacon. Take one.
Through the opening announcements this half hour because we want to hurry to Washington, D.C. to hear from lovely Jane Morgan. So, this is Monitor with Monty Hall and Morgan Beatty.
Now, just a minute, Monty. She's not ready for us yet.
Not ready? Well, in that case, let's take a little...
Do what?
We'll take a little more time?
That's not. Jane may not be ready to talk with us, but we can listen to her sing.
Okay.
Melody d'amour, take this song to my lover. Shoo, shoo, little bird, go and find my love. Melody d'amour, serenade at his window. Shoo, shoo, little bird, sing my song of love. Tell him I will wait if he names the date. Tell him that I care more than I can bear. For when we are apart, how it hurts my heart. So fly, oh, fly away and say I hope and pray this lover's melody will bring him back. C'est joli, si joli. Mais quand il devient fort, méfiez-vous, mes amis. Caché sous le feuillage, c'est comme un serpent gris. N'allez pas quand il dort, surtout le réveiller. N'allez pas car il mord si vous le réveillez. Melody d'amour, take this song to my lover. Shoo, shoo, little bird, go and find my love. Melody d'amour, serenade at his window. Shoo, shoo, little bird, tell him of my love.
Melody d'amour, sung by Jane Morgan. We'll hear from Jane again in just a minute or so, as we have said, over the Monitor Beacon. Take one. Thank you.
The Advertising Club of Washington is a pretty conservative organization, and for the first time in their history, they've relaxed enough to present an award to a member of the gentle sex. And there's none gentler than the recipient of the honor, Jane Morgan. For the story, Monitor now switches to Jane and reporter Patty Cavan at the Statler Hilton in Washington.
Stalwart members of the Advertising Club of Washington have picked a girl to be their Outstanding Entertainer of the Year. It's a singular honor, and it happens today in Washington. The songstress is recording star Jane Morgan, a blue-eyed blonde, who is making her Washington appearance surrounded by some 2,500 men. Jane, we understand that you had a rather accidental recording of the song that we all link with you so completely, Fascination. Any truth to that?
Well, Patty, I guess everything good that happens to you seems like an accident. Of course, I've been trying to make a hit record for about, 6 years. But actually, when it comes right down to it, Fascination was an accident. I was at the right place at the right time. They were making an instrumental recording of Fascination for my company, Cap Records. And I had learned the song in Europe. It is a standard, as you probably know, over there, has been popular in Europe for many years. So I sang the song with the troubadours just for fun. And 2 weeks later, it was on its way, and it became very successful, fortunately for me.
Then you were just really singing to fill in, and you didn't realize they were recording?
Oh, I knew they were recording, but very often, you know, in the studio, they make experiments or they try out things. When you record, you're not always aiming for a hit record. Sometimes you record just for pleasure or to see how it'll sound, something like that.
Jane, what was the reaction in your hometown, Boston? Are there any family members still there?
Oh, my relatives, brothers, live in Boston with their families. And, of course, I think that for a long time, my family was a little skeptical about my career. I've been in show business all my life, and I think they thought, well, this is all very well, you know, but how will it turn out? And when I made Fascination, they were all genuinely thrilled.
This was followed, Jane Morgan, if my memory is correct, by your setting records in the Persian Room of the Plaza Hotel.
Well, I opened in the Plaza in March, and I was there for 4 weeks, and I had a wonderful engagement. I think it was probably my finest New York engagement to date. I enjoyed it very much.
Jane, we want to know what you're going to do with this 2-foot-high trophy, which is a figure holding a plaque. It's a gold Oscar, really, and it's engraved to Jane Morgan as the Woman of the Year for her outstanding contributions to show business in the field of song. Janie, does this go in the den or in your boudoir?
I'll probably rent a museum and put it right smack in the middle.
You know, they're wonderful in powder rooms, too.
I haven't got room in mine. I have a very small apartment in New York, and I think I'll have to put it right in the living room.
Jane, we know that you at one stage studied very seriously at Juilliard with an idea of going into classical music, and at that time, everyone was amazed at your low speaking voice. Have you ever regretted not turning into a serious, long-haired classical singer?
Oh, Patty, I certainly haven't. I'm not cut out for the classical field, and I don't have that kind of temperament. I prefer popular music, and of course, all the years that I spent over in Europe, I wouldn't have missed for the world.
How long were you abroad?
I was in Paris for 5 years.
Which accounts for the lady's impeccable French accent.
Well, I don't get as much opportunity to speak French now, but I love France, and I had a wonderful time there.
Jane Morgan, Monitor says congratulations on receiving the Advertising Club of Washington's Outstanding Feminine Entertainer of the Year Oscar.
Well, thank you. I'm so delighted about it, I can't tell you.
This is Patty Cavan in Washington, returning you now to Monitor at Radio Central.
Thank you, Patty, and our congratulations too, Jane. From one Statler Hilton to another is only a matter of minutes, and we'll be in the New York branch for the live music of Xavier Cugat in just 8 seconds after we say, "You're on the Monitor beacon." Take one. Xavier Cugat is one of the most talented caricaturists we've ever met. But the reason why Monitor is moving over to the Café Rouge of the Statler Hilton in New York is to listen to him draw exciting music from his orchestra. Come on along.
The music is coming to you from the luxuriously appointed Café Rouge of the Hotel Statler Hilton in New York. And you must know it's the music of one Xavier Cugat. Cugi, would you help me with the introduction of the next one? I've been brushing up a little bit on my Spanish.
It's very simple. It's a number that I introduce.
Oh.
And Ari Shaw made it famous.
All right. How would I say? Aquí tenemos la gran orquesta típica del Maestro Javier Cugat.
Javier, who's the foreigner, you or me? Frenesi, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I thought at least you'd let me say ole. It took me all day to learn it, you know that.
Well, now we're going to jump to Santo Domingo, you know?
All right.
For a merengue.
Well, I've already, you know, you've lost me.
And this one is called La Cruz.
La Cruz.
Which in English means La Cruz. Very simple.
And you still got the orchestra, ladies and gentlemen, and of course, La Cruz. Ladies and gentlemen, the music has been coming to you from the Cafe Rouge of the Hotel Statler Half Hilton in New York, and the music being, of course, that of one Xavier Cugat. For now, for Monitor, this is Jerry Damon returning you to Radio Central, and Morgan Beatty and Monty Hall.
Grazie, amigos. The live music was unmistakably that of Xavier Cugat and his orchestra. The location, the Café Rouge of the Statler Hilton in New York City, and the assistance came from the American Federation of Musicians, James C. Petrillo Prez. Except for a look ahead at what Sunday Monitor has to offer, that seems to be just about all for today.
Who's going to look first, Monty, or tomorrow?
You do it, Morgan.
All right, tomorrow Monitor marks the 16th anniversary of the Battle of the Coral Sea, makes several trips to the Brussels World's Fair, and joins an expedition to the nest of one of the six swooping cranes in captivity near New Orleans.
We can't guarantee that you'll hear an egg hatch, but, you know, then again, who can? Here at Radio Central, we'll have guests dropping in. Herb Schreiner will be here, Chester Morris, Jimmy Durante, Natalie Wood, Meyer Davis.
The whole Monitor gang will be on hand throughout the day. Bob and Ray, Bob Hope, Fibber and Molly, George Goble, Paul Winchell, and Miss Monitor.
Glad you included the latter. Music and news in and around all this, something for everybody, and this is Monty Hall.
And Morgan Beatty wishing you good night and pleasant listening with Monitor tomorrow and every weekend day.
This is Monitor, NBC's weekend radio service.